Oh, so they're our red team. I didn't know we had a hardware red team.
Well, that's why we call them the offensive security research. That's a term usually used for, you know, the bad guys out in the world because they're offensive in nature, attacking systems. But, you know, these are white hats that know how to hack like that. So, yeah, we have a really...
So it's good to be friends with these guys, I bet. Welcome to Embracing Digital Transformation, where we investigate effective change leveraging people, process, and technology.
This is Darren Pulsifer, Chief Solution Architect, author, and most importantly, your host. On today's episode, Zero Trust with Product Assurance, with special guest, Senior Director of Product Assurance at Intel, and podcasting host, Jerry Bryant.
Jerry, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me, Darren.
Jerry, you're a podcaster as well. You do Chips and Salsa podcast, a very popular Intel podcast. So you know what we're doing here today. I don't have to teach you anything, but my audience doesn't know you that well. So can you give us a little bit of your background, a little bit of who you are and why we're talking to you today?
Yeah, sure. So I'm in the Intel Product Assurance and Security Group. I manage security communications around, you know, incidents that we're responding to, like product vulnerabilities, our Intel platform update communications, where we, you know, enable an ecosystem to process those updates and provide them to the end customers. Like you said, I do the Chips and Salsa podcast with my cohort, Krobe, which is a lot of fun. We talk about security at Intel. Before Intel, I did similar work at Microsoft for about 20 years.
All right. So you are the quintessential security guy then. I mean, you've been doing this for 20 something years.
So yeah. When it comes to product security assurance. Yeah. That's my role.
People that's often your, that's get your confused role.
With like cybersecurity, you know, like.
So you're not like one of those hacker guys, right? You're not like a white hat out there defending, you know, Intel against all the bad guys?
No, not myself personally, but, you know, in this group, we deal with security researchers around the world who are they're the guys that discover vulnerabilities in products that, you know, the bad guys or nation states will then use to attack a network or a computer system.
So that's really interesting because I don't know that people fully understand what product security assurance is, especially for someone like Intel, right? Where, hey, we just do chips, right?
Yeah. You know, product security assurance is like the foundation of security, right? In your technology. At Intel, you know, it starts with a security first mindset. So this is done through training and lots of events where we try to teach all of our engineers to think like a hacker. So when they're writing code, they understand the kinds of techniques that attackers use or the things that they're looking for to exploit. It's a robust security development lifecycle, which is really the process through which when we identify weaknesses in our product that could have a security implication, the SDL is what looks at the root cause of those things. And then determines if we need to update our, you know, automated tooling or training or whatever the case may be, you know, to make sure that we're catching those things in the design and development phase. And then after a product ships, you know, product security assurance is what you do to keep those products secure when vulnerabilities are found. So, for example, we have a product security incident response. Product Security Incident Response Team, or PCERT, that's responsible for managing, you know, the vulnerability reports, making sure those things are triaged and determine if it's a vulnerability or not. And then it gets a severity rating and, you know, they work with the teams to make sure there's a mitigation developed. And then we put that into our Intel platform update process to validate the mitigation with our industry partners like the OEMs, who then integrate that into their product and supply the security update to the end customer.
So it sounds, this is not trivial. This is a big deal, all the way from educating our developers, both our firmware and hardware developers, about security, as well as our software developers, right? Because there's some hardware decisions that our hardware engineers are making, our silicon designers are making, that could leave vulnerabilities, right? Is that?
Yeah. You know, any time that code is being written, there's potential for a security weakness, or that could, you know, potentially be a vulnerability. You know, at Intel, we have over 500 people dedicated to security in some way. In IPaaS, we have a what we call an offensive security research team that's over 80 individuals around the world. And these are some of the best and brightest hardware security researchers in the world, that, you know, many of them are hired right out of, you know, college or whatever. But these people focus on not only products in the market, but also products under development. And their job is to attack, you know, the...
So they're our red team. I didn't know we had a hardware red team.
Well, that's why we call them the offensive security research. That's a term usually used for, you know, the bad guys out in the world, because they're offensive in nature, attacking systems. But, you know, these are white hats that know how to hack like that. So, we have a really...
So it's good to be friends with these guys, I bet. Well, these are really smart guys, right, that understand the inner workings of our chips, right?
Right.
Is that an advantage? Do they do just black box attacking, or are they doing clear box attacking where they do understand our underlying architecture and they could take advantage of those to attack our chips?
They do both.
Do they? Wow.
Yeah. When we're in product development, they'll do that kind of that black box thing. When we're dealing with vulnerability reports from, they find a lot of the vulnerabilities internally. Over the years, I think we average about 50% of the vulnerabilities we address are found internally. And the vast majority of the rest of those are reported through our bug bounty program. but all of these reports get triaged.
They have to crack open things and look and see and...
Yeah, so, you know, they obviously have access to the code base and things like that that helps them understand where the vulnerability is located, what that root cause is, and then also they look around that same area for additional potential weaknesses.
So do people ever send in vulnerabilities that just aren't true?
Yeah.
Red herrings for our, you know, that we spend cycles on trying to chase and clean up. And
I think, you know, it's not that bad. I mean, people send in reports that we triage, and, you know, we call it a negative triage if we determine it's not a vulnerability. But, you know, we don't discourage that. It's not like we get too many of those.
You don't get too many of those. Well, that's good. 'Cause I could see, you know, I've got teenage boys. They do things just to get under my skin sometimes. So,
Intel's got a really robust bug bounty program. And, you know, we pay about $1 million or so a year to security researchers through that program. This year, for 2023, we had a record number of about 246 individual security researchers that participated in our bounty program. And then, you know, we have extended that even further into an events-based program called Project Circuit Breaker, which you can find at projectcircuitbreaker.com. But these are events, you know, like I think the first one was Camping with Tigers, and it was we provided hardware to a group of elite external researchers. We put them in front of our engineers to get training on hacking hardware, basically, and let them go hack away at the product. So we do a bunch of these different kinds of events that are designed to help folks that are used to researching software transition to researching hardware. So we're actually trying to teach
hacking
researchers how to hack hardware. because we want more people looking at it. That's why we fund a lot of academic research in the security space, just because.
Does that ever, you know, that seems a little scary a little bit, right? It would be like if I had a safe company and I hire, you know, hackers or I hire bad guys and say, hey, come and break into my safe. Is there any fear in that? Hey, we're letting people access to things.
Not really. I mean, you know, most of these people are professionals. They practice what, you know, we commonly call in the industry coordinated vulnerability disclosure, which is CVD, which means, you know, they're going to coordinate the disclosure of that vulnerability with us, which, you know, for us is when we're supplying a mitigation to the end user.
So they let us know first. We come up with a mitigation and then let the world know.
Yeah. And we give them credit in our public advisories for, you know, finding the issue. But yeah, it's a good program, and Intel's got one of the best programs in the industry.
Oh, that's really cool. The way that's all set up. All right. So what does this lead to? I mean, we do hardware, firmware. I know I used to run a division, our solid state drive. I used to be the firmware manager and director of firmware for our solid state. We did a lot of bug bounties on our firmware and product quality on our firmware, as well as software. What does all this lead to? Better products for us, but how do we know ours is better? How do we let the world know if there's problems in an effective way? You know, what does this all lead to?
Yeah. So, you know, it's funny, last September, 2023, our CEO, Pat Gelsinger, went out on LinkedIn and, you know, made a blog post. And a lot of it was talking about, the new trust authority, the Intel Trust Authority.
Right.
But towards the end, he started talking about product security and that it's a must have. Right. And he challenged the, you know, readers to find a silicon vendor that, you know, invests as much as Intel in product security assurance. And he also challenged the entire industry to, you know, raise their game. And, you know, he said he would put Intel's product security assurance up against any of our direct competitors. So,
That's a throwdown if I've ever seen one.
Yeah. So we have recently released a couple of reports. One is the fifth annual 2023 Intel product security report. And in that report, we do a bit of a competitive analysis on platform firmware vulnerabilities, Intel and AMD. And then also we commissioned a company called ABI Research to do an independent study on product security assurance in the silicon industry. And they found that Intel's product security assurance was number one in the silicon industry by a pretty good margin.
So what does that mean that Intel's has the highest product security assurance? Does it mean that our products are more secure? What does it really mean to like an end user of Intel products?
It means that Intel has invested in a broad range of security assurance efforts, right? So, you know, you mentioned hackathons before. I mean, we do over 120 hackathons per year. We contract with, you know, third party vendors to do code reviews. We partner with companies like Google and Microsoft to do security reviews of technology like TDX, Intel TDX, the trust domain extensions. All of this stuff. And so it's, like I said, it's a broad range of things. We have people busy in standards bodies, you know, that are related to security. I mean, Intel is everywhere out there. And the other part of it is that's the investment. The other part is maturity. So, you know, we've, you know, our PCert team was established in 2006, for example. So that team has matured processes, you know, along the way. And, you know, there are a significant team as far as size and capability, you know, to manage these vulnerability reports and make sure that, you know, we're getting mitigations out in a coordinated way with the rest of the ecosystem.
Even though we've got really great security built in and we're testing security in products that are pre-release and post-release, what they still find issues, right? I mean, issues are found every day in hardware and software. That are we able to have our efforts decrease the amount of vulnerabilities that we are finding in the field? How does the report show that sort of stuff for us? What's the benefit?
So if you if you look at the product security report, we actually had a reduction in hardware and firmware vulnerabilities as compared to 2022. I have to pull that up here real quick just to so I can
get the raw numbers.
But yeah, it was a combined 39% reduction in hardware and firmware vulnerabilities. But then we saw an increase of a couple hundred percent in software vulnerabilities.
Interesting.
And we were actually, when we looked at the source of those things, you know, it's kind of exciting because we saw over 100% growth in the number of unique researchers we engage in our bounty program in 2023. So along with that, we saw, you know, growth in the number of external bug bounty reports. Turns out that the vast majority of those were in software. And that's, you know, like I mentioned, the Project Circuit Breaker, we're trying to teach people how to hack on hardware because most of the folks out there are, you know, that participate in our bug bounty program are professional bug hunters. You know, they do that for a living. And they're mostly looking at software. So they've got fuzzers to fuzz drivers or whatever the case may be. And so they find most of the stuff in software.
Gotcha. So we're trying our best to get more hardware bug finders or bug hunters, I guess, what are they called?
But yeah, but I wanted to make a point there. So you know, when we talk about the investment in product security assurance and maturity, you know, a mature framework, you look at these root causes, like I said earlier, these vulnerabilities, and you go back to the, you know, SDL program and you figure out, you know, what you can do to update tooling, you know, automated code scanners, things like that to look for specific types of bugs. So pretty much all of the issues that we addressed in 2023 that are present in the product security report, you know, that work's already been done long ago to go back and root cause those things and, you know, do those updates.
Very cool. So the end result of all this is higher quality products and quicker ways of mitigating, right? Of mitigating vulnerabilities that are found out in the field on products that are out there.
I mean, it's that, you know, it's that assurance part of it. That's the assurance to the customer that, you know, we're going to be able to take care of any issues that are discovered after a product ships. We have the robust framework in place and the teams and the maturity of those teams. So yeah, we're pretty quick about it, you know, depending on the type of issue it is. You know, the hardware level mitigations are, you know, they're a little more tricky because of all of the ecosystem that are involved in, you know, processing that update. You know, we have a phased approach to our Intel platform update process. So it starts with what we call like architecture partners. So these are OS vendors, hypervisor vendors, cloud security providers. When we're looking at a microcode update, you know, we will present those things to that group of partners ahead of time to make sure that the mitigation is going to work effectively, you know, for them if there's a software component to that mitigation. So, you know, maybe the operating system has to add a bit of code to, you know, finalize that mitigation that we put in the hardware.
So what I heard there is sometimes our hardware mitigation, let's say that we burned it into silicon, I can't just go and replace all those chips. So I come up with some kind of a patch, right? Software or a firmware patch that is going to either mitigate the situation or decrease the functionality of the chip or whatever the case may be to mitigate the bug found in hardware. So that's a very expensive fix.
I mean, yeah, I guess if you...
We want to find those early, I guess, is what I'm trying... We want to find those before we do tape out and we produce hundreds of millions of those chips if we can, right?
Yeah, and, you know, this, again, the assurance part of that equation is that, you know, yes, we may have had a couple hundred, you know, a few hundred vulnerabilities in a given year that we addressed publicly, but... The scale of the bugs we find when products are in development is, you know, orders of magnitude larger than that. So, you know, the vast majority of things are found before the product ships.
That's incredible. And your team is working not just post production, right? You guys are through the whole cycle. You're helping products move along that whole development cycle. Is that part of your charter?
Yeah, the IPAS organization is does all of that. So they do the security engineering part of it. I mentioned the offensive security research team, the SDL team, several other teams. We have teams that are dedicated to working on Linux kernel mitigations for security issues. For example, we have teams everywhere working on all sorts of security problems and issues and, you know, before and after products ship.
Okay, now a real personal question. What's your biggest nightmare day as far as a mitigation that's happened? You don't have to tell the exact one, but what does that feel like? Because you must always be on edge. Like, right? Is there something coming we haven't discovered, right? Is that a worry that you have? And when that did happen, because I'm sure it's happened, it's got to have happened. What does that feel like?
I'm an incident responder. So, you know, I tell people looking to get into this space, you know, they have to understand that incident response is, you know, it's a lifestyle. You know, it's like when things are not going well from a, vulnerability perspective, that's, you know, you just have to, you know, be on your game for however long it takes. You know, we haven't had big issues like that here at Intel. But, you know, previous work at Microsoft, you know, there were some big, you know, internet worms and things like that came out that I was involved in. And, you know, there was one particular incident I remember. It was like 18-hour days for like 3 weeks straight. And I was walking out of the war room and passing a coworker, and she's like, "How is it that you're still smiling?" And I'm like, it's what we do. You know, it's what we live for. It's not that we want vulnerabilities, but we, you know, when they come up, we're ready, you know, let's get on them. So,
wow. So it's a little bit of an adrenaline rush. Probably with a letdown afterwards, I would guess.
I guess it would be. I never noticed it that way. It's just, it seems like everything else that a person like me does is, you know, just, you know, fun projects to work on while I'm waiting for the next incident, and that's when the real fun starts, you know.
So in some sense, you're a cyber warrior.
Well, I don't put myself...
Because you're doing incident response, right? I mean, it has happened. Now you have to respond. It's you deal on the defensive side, right? Which is extremely important.
Yeah, it's mitigating problems so customers can, you know, be secure. I mean, it's as simple as that. You know, it's like we got to get those mitigations out as quickly as possible so that, you know, they can install that mitigation and not have to worry about anything.
Yeah, about losing their data or, you know, being held hostage through ransomware attacks, whatever the case may be.
We don't see too many ransomware attacks, you know, using vulnerabilities in Intel products, but, you know, nation states and other threat actors, you know, they continue to kind of look below the OS layer at, you know, the firmware. So, you know, we've seen things that are, you know, like Black Lotus, for example, these things become persistent in the firmware and they're very hard to find. And, you know, of course, Intel is developing security technologies to detect those things, which is cool. Intel Threat Detection is the product I'm thinking of, and it's integrated into certain versions of Windows Defender, I think, on Intel vPro systems. But anyway, you know, yeah, there's a lot of folks out there that are the cybersecurity defenders, like, you know, our network IT guys, you know, are more in that category than I am. I'm just a incident responder, you know, like almost like a safety guy, you know.
That's the safety. If it gets to you, it's pretty bad then, is what I'm hearing.
Well, yeah. I mean, we're the ones making sure that, you know, we put a stop to an attacker's ability to use a vulnerability.
So it may be that's another question a lot of people had. There were quite a few. There was the big, there was the twins on side channel attacks. When was that? 4 years ago? 5 years ago?
2018. Yeah.
Yeah. See, I knew you would know the date. 2018, October 23rd at 11 p.m. We got, yeah. Those vulnerabilities were found in a lab, never utilized in the open, from what I understand. So, those are great ones to find in the labs and have a mitigation quickly, because then we can protect everyone very quickly without it ever getting out.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. And the Spectre Meltdown were the names.
Yeah.
Of
Spectre and Meltdown.
That's right. There's been several since then, and none of them have been known, as far as we know, to be used in an actual attack. And the funny thing is a lot of those side channel issues, if we don't find them internally, because we do find a lot of them internally, and, you know, we mitigate those and we publicly disclose the information about what we found, because, you know, that's our commitment to transparency. But a lot of those are found in academics, institutions, you know. And I recall early on, it seemed like the media was pitting these academic researchers against Intel, like we're at odds or something.
But you're actually paying them.
Sometimes if there's a grant, you know, sometimes specific research is funded. But even if we're not paying them, you know, it's the collaboration that, again, is a sure sign of the kind of level of maturity, because when these guys come to us with their paper, you know, we put them with some of our, you know, engineers, those offensive security research people I was telling you about, and they'll review the paper, they'll give them feedback on their paper, they'll tell them you should look in this direction, you know, all kinds of stuff like that. And, you know, I've been told by some of these academic researchers that, you know, some of our competition, they just get a canned email from their PCERT team. Thank you for the, you know, report. And that's it, you know, so.
So we're much more hands-on with the community, it sounds like. So that's another question. When our offensive team finds stuff and we're advertising the stuff, doesn't the whole community get benefit? Don't our competitors also? Because their architectures, they license our architecture from us, right? AMD does that.
Well, yeah, some side channels are cross-platform, some aren't.
Some aren't. Okay, but everyone benefits from vulnerabilities found in a lab compared to in the open, right?
Right, and, you know, whenever we find, you know, architectural level vulnerability in hardware, we always test other platforms. we'll test to see if AMD is affected or ARM chips, And if so, you know, we'll reach out to them, share, you know, the information with them so that they can, you know, start working on a mitigation, and we'll coordinate the disclosure with them. So, you know, typically we wouldn't go and publicly announce that at a different day and time than them, you know, because the idea is the, you know, the whole ecosystem gets told, you know, at the same time when a mitigation is available.
So that collaboration, it's like a co-op petition, right? I mean, we collaborate with our competitors to help produce a safer computing environment across the whole ecosystem is what it sounds like.
Yeah. I mean, you know, a good example of collaboration. So our next episode of Chips and Salsa is an interview with folks from Intel, from the MITRE Corporation, AMD, a company called Cycuity, and a company called Riscure. And so MITRE runs the common weakness enumeration and the common vulnerability enumerator systems. And the common weakness enumeration, or CWE, is the description of a root cause of a vulnerability. And they've got a, you know, big list of these things. So when you're looking at a vulnerability and your root cause it, you can assign a specific CWE identifier to it. Anyway, so this industry group got together because they needed hardware CWEs that described transient execution vulnerabilities more precisely. So that helps down the road when you're thinking about how to architect, you know, around those kinds of issues, or software developers are developing software on a platform. You know, they understand these kind of issues. So anyway,
It's interesting. There's a lot more collaboration than I thought there would be across the product assurance teams. It sounds like you guys are sharing and improving everything across the board, which is awesome to see.
Yep, definitely.
All right, Jerry. Hey, this has been wonderful. You've educated me on some things I did not know about, and it sounds like to be in your position, you got to be pretty calm. Just
hopefully, yeah.
Yeah, hopefully.
But yeah, definitely folks should check out our product security report for 2023 and see how our platform firmware vulnerabilities stacked up against AMD's.
Yeah, absolutely. And you can find that on the website. We'll have a link on there directly from embracingdigital.org.
Sounds
hey,
good.
Jerry, thanks again for coming on the show. I appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for having me, Darren.
Thank you for listening to Embracing Digital Transformation today. If you enjoyed our podcast, give it 5 stars on your favorite podcasting site or YouTube channel. You can find out more information about Embracing Digital Transformation at embracingdigital.org. Until next time, go out and embrace the digital revolution.